edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. Our guest today is Jane Schwartzberg. Jane has written a book called Naked Jane Bears All, and she's written this book with Marcy Tolkov-Levy, and this is about Jane's experience in dealing with terminal cancer. And Jane, thanks so much for spending time today with us on The Front Page.
Thank you so much for inviting me to.
Well, I understand that this is an issue you've actually been dealing with for about 11 years or so.
Yes, absolutely. Even more than 11 years. I was diagnosed the first time in 2000 with curable breast cancer. And then after being declared cured, 11 years later, was diagnosed again, told that it had come back, and that this time it is incurable.
This has to be a difficult situation, but at the same time, your book is all about not just living with cancer and terminal cancer in this case, but also basically thriving.
Exactly right. So first, let me state the obvious. It's awful, awful. Physically, emotionally, logistically, it's awful to get this kind of diagnosis. And anyone who goes down for some time has every right and prerogative to, because it's horrendous and it's hard to get your head around. But what I'm trying to do is, through the book, be one of the many examples of people who are really showing up well for their life and using whatever time they have on earth. And frankly, my view is that we're all in that same boat. I happen to have a medical diagnosis, but you and everybody else is really, is really going to be here for just a short time.
You mentioned that, and that's true. And I was going to ask you about just kind of stepping back in time and looking at your life. And I know that it seemed like, from what I've read, that your life was in pretty good order. You had a nice life going for yourselves and your family. And at the same time, what was it like, though, when you first received the diagnosis regarding breast cancer for you?
Devastation. Complete and utter devastation. I was 31. My husband and I had been married about 10 or 11 weeks. And really, we were just on top of the world. Physically, I don't think I had ever felt better. And it's completely, the first time I heard, it was completely surreal. It's as if I was on a movie set and I thought somebody was going to yell cut, because it felt so preposterous. And, the feeling of being like a trapped rat. You don't know where to go. You don't know how to get out. And at least that time, when I was told there were treatments and it was curable, I had some comfort. The second time, when I was told it was incurable, frankly, was even more devastating.
Well, you thought you had that thing beat.
I sure did. I thought it was beat. I was going on with my life. And as you said, you're right. I had what I consider a really lovely, wonderful life that I was living. I was living very happily.
Well, your reaction at first, obviously, this stinks. I mean, here I've beaten this thing. Now it comes back, and I know that your husband, your family, they all feel like the same thing. You're through this. Your friends, and now here it comes again. And not only are you dealing with that, but you're also, I'm sure, thinking about how do I tell them, how they're going to react, and how do I kind of help them through this.
Oh, Chuck, you are so right on. It's not only about me, the patient, and my fear and fear of the unknown and fear of what's going to happen, but then there's also the component for those that I love of how do I communicate this to them? What can I do to comfort them? What will they need that I likely won't be able to provide for them because I'll be fighting once again? It's so complex. When anyone is sick, it's not just the person who suffers. It's those who love that person and care for that person. It's very, very complicated.
The first thing I thought of was, I know you have children, and telling your children and getting them to wrap their heads around this and deal with it that has to be, and it's had to have been, extremely difficult.
The worst. Really the worst. So what my husband and I did, we went to a professional and we asked her, she specialized in child psychology, and we asked her, how do we tell them? Because the first time that I was sick, we didn't have children. The second time, we have now two beautiful kids. And she advised us, which I thought was actually really very helpful advice. She said, don't have secrets, because that's the worst thing for small kids, because whatever they're going to imagine is worse than reality. And so be open with them. Tell them mommy is sick, and for right now you're here. So for right now you can reassure them that you're here, that their parents love them, and that it's going to be a tough time, but that as a family we're going to get through it. And so that's what we did. We had a family meeting, and we said exactly that.
And how did they react?
Well, my daughter, who is now 10, her big concern was, is mommy going to be bald again? Because I think she was, you know, more about the embarrassment, the potential embarrassment of having a mom with no hair. And my son was sort of confused, but really just kept saying to me, are you going to be okay? And in fact asked me, if you're not okay, who is going to take care of me? So it was hard in different ways. And what we tried to do, which again, I think all of us as parents, family members, what we tried to do was really love them as much as we could with all that we had. So even if I was feeling awful, I would go down and sit on the floor with them for a little while. So kind of fill their tanks with as much love as possible.
Did you have an outside support system set up also through other relatives, maybe your parents and maybe some of your friends?
Absolutely. My parents were stunning. I mean, just we couldn't have gotten through it without them. I have a sister and a brother who were incredible. We have friends in the community. And actually, in Naked Jane Bears All, I talk about, one of the chapters is called Love Train. And what I mean by love train is all the people who are taking this crazy ride of life with us. And essentially what I advise people to do is ride their love train. And meaning, let the people who care for you, let them help you, because you're going to need it.
Well, obviously it's a big downer, I mean, that you had to go through. And at some point, though, you decided to pull yourself off the canvas and get on your feet and march on. How did you do that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, a downer and then some. And for quite some time, I didn't get back up. I mean, there were many, many weeks when I had no interest in engaging with anyone or anything. I would say how I got back up really was I gave myself all the time and space that I needed to be down and to weep and to grieve and to also physically just withstand all the surgeries and treatments and you know, going from hospital to hospital and doctor appointment to doctor appointment. And little by little, I tried to derive strength from my family, from my friends. I tried to understand that I could have purpose outside of cancer again. And it was like building a house from the ground up, with the foundation being going really easy on myself. And little by little, I was able to stand up again.
I was going to ask you about that, if there was a certain trigger point where you said, you know what, I'm not going to let this, it may take my life, but it's not going to defeat my soul.
You know, I would say there were many points of that. And one one conversation, you know, you never know what you're going to learn from another person. And I had a short conversation, actually, which stands out in my mind, with a very good friend of mine who's a work colleague as well. And she talked about her father having cancer, and he lost his battle with cancer. And she said to me, I constantly think about how he handled it and how he loved us through the battle, no matter how hard it was. And something in my brain clicked when I heard that, and I thought to myself, our kids are writing their stories now about their childhoods, about their parents, about their lives, and I don't want their story to be that mommy got sick and essentially never was able to show up. Something really clicked in my brain at that point.
Well, they say that love conquers all, and it sounds like that's a theory that you believe in.
I do. I really do. And I'm a believer through my experience that as difficult as life can be, which for all of us, regardless of any medical situation, I mean, we all have challenges, we've all lost loved ones, we feel inadequate in various ways, feel scared in different ways. I mean, I'm a big believer that you can have a terrific life and one of happiness and love and purpose despite many challenges.
Well, we talked about you're a wife, you're a mother, you're also the CEO of a company too as well. It sounds like you're pretty busy and do have a pretty full life.
So that was years ago. I'm now working in a financial services company, in a bank, and I have a great team, and yes, and I keep really busy. You know, I weave in and out of the medical and what I'd call quote unquote average life. So, you know, I look completely healthy and normal, and I participate in work and our kids' schools and all that kind of stuff. And then when I need to, I go into the medical and I take my medications every day. I get on scan tables frequently. I have many appointments. But yeah, I think keeping busy, if I have the energy for it, which right now I do, is a really good thing.
Well, it sounds like, though, you have your own routine, and what might not be typical for the rest of us is typical for you, and you found a way to just kind of put this into place.
For sure. And my husband calls it our new normal. So what's normal for us is not normal for most other people, but we have gotten into a routine, and we know that the doctors, the hospitals, the anxiety around scans, the IVs, all of that stuff is just a part of our lives, and we do what we can to feel normal about it and to have our kids feel like it's not a big burden.
Well, Jane, how are you doing right now? How's your condition?
So I am not a candidate for remission. So I have, you know, as we've talked about, I have the cancer exists. It's in my body. It shows up on scans. But right now, thanks to new medication that I started on a few months ago, I actually feel very well. And I take it one day at a time. I know that I'm always just one scan away from really bad news. But right now I feel well, and every time I take my medication, I say thank you, that there is a medication I can take. And the cancer at this moment looks stable.
Well, I'll ask you this. Is one of your key messages then to live and thrive in the moment?
I couldn't articulate it better than you just did. Yes, to be present, to show up for what's going on now so that you can do the most good and the best job as a companion, as a partner, as a team member, as a parent, a son, a sister, whatever your roles are, to show up in the moment and to not be constantly waiting for a shoe to drop or for something terrible to happen. Be in the moment as best as you possibly can, because that's really all we know for sure.
And the bottom line is, and I know you pointed this out earlier in the program, Jane, is that no one is truly promised tomorrow. You're the only one that I know of right off hand that understands this maybe a little bit more because of what you're dealing with this cancer.
Correct. Nobody has any. And I talk about in the book, I call it a taste of terminal. And what I mean by that is we all should have, we should savor a taste of terminal. We all are going to die. We have no idea when or under what circumstances. And I think people should really try to focus in on our time being so precious, even if they are in incredibly good health and everything is going well, to increase the enjoyment, enhance their lives, and frankly, do all you can to help those you care about.
And again, today our guest on the front page is Jane Schwartzberg. She, along with veteran writer Marcy Tolkoff-Levy, have written a book called Naked Jane Bears All. It talks about Jane's battle with terminal cancer and Jane's idea that, you know, just because cancer is going to take your life, it doesn't take your soul. You can still live a full life. I'm Chuck Mraz on Front Page. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
Mountain Edition is Morehead State Public Radio's most comprehensive local news program. Every weekday afternoon at 4:30, this half-hour magazine presents our longest news and sportscasts, features, and commentary on the news. It's a show that brings you closer to politics, education, the environment, and the arts in the part of the country where you live. That's Mountain Edition, weekday afternoons at 4:30 on Morehead State Public Radio.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, we're talking with Jane Schwartzberg. And Jane has terminal cancer, and she's written a book about her experience. It's called Naked Jane Bears All. She's co-written this book with veteran writer Marcy Tolkoff-Levy. And Jane, as we continue our discussion regarding this, do you have people coming up to you and asking you, you know, about your attitude? I mean, it's so positive, and they say to you, you know, how do you do this?
Constantly. I have many, many people asking me. And I don't know really what the right answer is. I always want to tell people that I'm not always positive. I mean, I've had plenty of time where I don't feel like getting out of bed, where I dread going to another medical appointment, where I just have that pit in my stomach, and I would rather just hide from the world. But I think when I have a positive attitude, it's really because I understand that my time is limited, as is everyone's, and that if I don't show up well and with an open heart, then I've lost whatever time that I actually have to be here with those I love.
Do you consider yourself, or do you think about yourself in this way, as being an inspirational leader, and you're someone that maybe has to show other people the way in a sense?
Wow, that is a really great question. I guess it's hard for me to consider myself at all an inspirational leader, because I'm just doing what I have to do to get through and to continue to be a good parent and a good friend and a good daughter and wife and all that, whatever that may mean. But, you know, to really be present for my loved ones. I put it this way. I hope to be one of the many, many people who show by example that even when the worst things happen, you can still live a good life. And it would be a privilege for me to be an inspiration to people.
Well, I guess at the same time, you're so busy living your life right now, I guess it's really not something that you're going to think about on a day-to-day basis.
I don't think about it, although I do think about how lucky I would be if my book and if my just, for example, talking to you, Chuck, right now, gives someone some hope that a diagnosis or something terrible in their lives won't define them forever. So I really view it as a tremendous privilege if I can do that.
I wonder about this. I lost my mom a few months ago, and I started to think about this a little bit myself, in the sense, just thinking about the afterlife and maybe what that's all about. Do you ever ponder that?
I do, and unfortunately, I haven't found anything that is particularly comforting or inspirational to me yet. Maybe I still will, but yeah, I think about it a lot, and I'm not sure where I stand on that.
I guess it's something that you wonder about, but in a way, I always feel like it's almost like a Christmas present, in the sense, I'm willing to wait to unwrap it, but at the same time, I kind of wonder what's inside.
Me too. And I'm not in any rush to unwrap it. I'm hoping I can hold off on unwrapping it for quite some time.
Do you use humor a lot in your daily life, maybe to help get through some things?
Yes. Humor is so important, and I think you can find it anywhere and in anything, even in the bleakest moments. And in Naked Jane Bears All, I hope very much that people find a lot of humor in it, because I also think it makes it easier to get through a tough time and to not have only really bad thoughts about some of the toughest aspects of it.
At what point, Jane, did you decide to write Naked Jane Bears All and say, you know what, maybe I have something that can help some people get through what I'm getting through right now?
Truthfully, it was not my idea. And I still am scratching my head. I can't believe that we have a book that people have been really inspired by. It was the idea of a colleague of mine at work, and she introduced me to Marcy, my co-writer, and it was Marcy who said, you sure have a lot to say, and we're not going to stop until we've said it, until we've told your story. So it was our colleague and Marcy, really. Marcy is the life force of this book. Even though it's my story, it would never have happened without her.
Do you have your own little list of things that you'd like to do before your time passes?
Well, I would say one of the things that was on my list, which I write about also, was meeting Larry David of Seinfeld, and that was number 1, 2, 3 all the way down to 97 and 98. and I wrote him. I actually wrote him a letter and did go. He, believe it or not, he called me, and I went and took him out to lunch. That was a dream come true. And I would say next to that, I don't have any major things on my list, but I'm always thinking about it. I'm always thinking about what should be on there. And I'm hoping, I mean, with all the treatments available and the new ones they're coming out with all the time, I'm hoping I have many, many, many years so that I'm not under any pressure to cross anything off my list just yet.
Well, we hope the same thing for you too as well. Jane, how can people get a copy of your book, Naked Jane Bears All?
It's available on Amazon. They can go to Amazon and just search either my name, Jane Schwartzberg, or Naked Jane Bears All. And I also have a website, nakedjanebearsall.com.
Well, Jane, thanks so much for spending time with us on Front Page and telling us your story. We certainly appreciate it.
I'm very grateful that you invited me on your show, and I thank you so much.
Once again, the book is Naked Jane Bears All. We've been talking with the author, Jane Schwartzberg. She wrote this also with veteran writer Marcy Tolkoff-Levy. I'm Chuck Mraz, host of The Front Page, and we'll see you next time.